Well, we're going to dig in this morning into a three-week series, a short series that will coincide with the Dedicate Fast, prayer and fasting that we are doing as a congregation that lasts for 21 days. In this time, we're going to be talking about what it means to be dedicated to Jesus, what it means to be dedicated to our neighbor, and what it means to be dedicated to our city. Those three things will be happening over the weeks to come and coinciding with the fast that we are participating in. We don't want to assume that anyone happens to just know what it means to pray and to fast. And so we're going to take a look at that very practically this morning in hopes that we might be able to join in. But each year, South Everett Foursquare enters into a 21-day season of prayer and fasting called Dedicate. This is a season of time in which we limit ourselves in different ways. We limit sometimes our meal intake or other kinds of life practices, but most of all, what we're doing is exercising additional restraint in order that we might more clearly hear the voice of God in our lives. And so this morning we're going to enter into a brief conversation on prayer and fasting, and we're going to ask and answer a few questions. First and foremost, what is fasting? What is prayer and fasting? Secondly, this is important sometimes when we endeavor to consume something. What's it going to cost me if I pray and fast? Thirdly, and selfishly sometimes, we want to know what's in it for me. And so we're going to talk about what's in it for me in the act of prayer and fasting. And then finally, where is God in all of this? And so, knowing that it's already January 6th and this started on January 1st, some of you, if you're like me, recovering perfectionists, to a certain extent, you would say, well, shoot, it's already day 6 and I haven't fulfilled my commitments, and so I guess I'll catch it next year. This isn't about perfection. It's not about 21 days of performance. It's about getting closer to the heart of God. And so, above and beyond all else, if you are just hearing about the prayer and fasting time, dedicate these 21 days, we want to let you know it's not too late to join in. Secondly, it's important to remember that this is more about equity than it is equality. To say that fasts are equal would mean that we would determine for you what the fast would happen to be. You're not going to eat for 21 straight days. That's not the fast that I'm doing. I would fall over and die and spend less time focused on Jesus than if I ate from time to time. It's not about doing the same thing. That's equality. Equity is about getting to the same place, which is close to the heart of God. And so if there's diabetes in your life, if not eating makes you grumpier than better, or some people don't eat very much as it is, and so fasting has to be about something else, because it's about limiting yourself, ourselves, in an area that's going to help us focus more on Jesus. So whatever that happens to look like, if you go to our website, you can just put in southeverett.org/dedicate and find out all about different kinds of fasting. But the goal is a closer walk with Jesus, not boasting, not to say, hey, guess what? I did it at the end of 21 days. So what? We'll talk more about that in a minute. But resources are available to all of us online. But we're going to talk a little bit more about what this is. Seasons of extended prayer and fasting are regularly seen both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. A relationship with Jesus, a deeper relationship with Jesus, which is the goal of prayer and fasting, is like any other relationship that we live in the sense that over time, that relationship is seasoned and enriched through shared experience. Think about all the relationships you have in your life. The closest ones are the ones where you have spent time together. You have memories together. You have those kinds of, well, you had to be there stories, or you celebrated in the good times, or you wept with one another in times that were more difficult or more challenging. But being in a deeper relationship with Jesus, which is the goal of prayer and fasting, helps us to peel back the layers, and it helps us to strengthen the bond of the relationships as trust is established with God. That's the goal. And Scripture, the whole of Scripture, the whole of the Bible is a mosaic of stories illustrating what it looks like to follow after Jesus for a very, very, very long time. This is a slow burn, this following after God. There's examples all throughout Scripture. One that I like a lot is the example of Saul in the New Testament, who was renamed Paul when he dedicated his life to Jesus. Because like me, before I knew Jesus, I felt like I was fairly well-intended. I was just a little bit misdirected. And that is the heart of Saul, who did a whole bunch of egregious things to hurt the body of Christ before he became a member of it. But his intentions were good. He thought he was doing the right thing. But Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he was going to persecute more Christians, somewhere between 33 and 36 A.D., after Jesus was born. That's about the timeline of history where this actually happened. And on this road to Damascus, he was in a fervent yet misdirected religious pursuit to stop what God was doing, with a heart and understanding that he just wanted to continue what the Lord was doing. But he was misdirected. He was misguided, just like I have been, and sometimes continue to be, which is the heart of getting back into a closer relationship with Jesus. So that happened. That was the beginning of his walk with Jesus. In this life, Paul was likely beheaded by the Romans under Emperor Nero sometime between May and June of 68 AD. So somewhere between 32 and 35 years, Paul walked for a very, very long time with Jesus in this life. He was dedicated to Jesus. He followed Jesus for a very long time. He followed Jesus with every ounce of life that he had in him, and he followed Jesus all the way to the grave. Paul lost his head over his commitment to Christ. Over those 30 plus years of dedication to God, Paul and the Lord peeled back the layers. They strengthened the bonds. They established trust with one another over those times. They shared a dynamic relationship that was founded on deeply transformative and shared experiences. Things that the Lord and Paul shared together that transformed who Paul was, that did something to him. He went on and penned 13 letters of the New Testament that were distributed to churches all over the Roman Empire. The depth of these letters reflect the depth of the relationship that Paul had, and it is clear in his writings that Paul understood that Jesus was more than someone to be believed in. He was a God to follow after. We're in all different seasons of our lives, and maybe you find yourself in a season today where you're somewhere between believing in and following after Jesus. And there's a difference. Because belief in itself, to say I believe in something, costs us very little. But to follow after a God who will give us everything will ultimately ask us in exchange to give him everything, so that we might live a new life in him. But these were writings that declared that I will follow daily after Jesus. It was a daily decision to follow after him. Just like to be dedicated to Jesus today for us is a daily decision. Paul talks about it in his writings in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, for any of us that are aging, and that's all of us, but at different periods of time, though outwardly we feel it sometimes when we get up in the morning and feel like, I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm starting to waste away. My eyes aren't as good as they used to be. They're wasting away. Everything's starting to waste away in my flesh. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, anyone got some of those? Anybody? I got a list. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of them. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Daily. We are being renewed day by day. Paul goes on again in Philippians to say in chapter 2, 12 and 13, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, because Paul was no longer with this group of people that he was writing the letter to, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So here's another statement. Here's another declaration of this congregation. South Everett Foursquare is a people who will daily follow after Jesus with eyes fixed on eternal outcomes in order that we might fulfill his good purposes for us. These are statements about belief and conviction for us as a congregation. South Everett Foursquare is a people who will daily follow after Jesus with eyes fixed on eternal outcomes in order that we might fulfill his good purposes. Well, what's that going to cost me? Because it's going to cost me something for that to be more than just words on a page. What does this declaration require of us? Well, I think in many ways, very practically, because we're a group of people actually doing things, so practically, it will require us to revisit daily, to come back to and work out with fear and trembling our salvation. It will cost us, it will require us to go back to our own personal values. What's important to me as a follower of Jesus? What are my priorities? Not only personally, but also as a congregation. What do we value as a congregation of people? Casino Road Kids Ministries. Not only the ministry that happens, but the people who are doing the ministry are highly valued because you're sons and daughters of the King. We all are in all the areas that we serve as South Everett Foursquare missionaries in 2019. We are valued over what we produce. I would suggest, as evidenced by Paul's life, that as he spent more time with Jesus, in proximity to him, his values and his priorities shifted. The more time he journeyed with God, having shared experiences over a long period of time, I bet it shifted a little bit what was important to him. This is a declaration that's going to require regular maintenance. And so it's important for all of us. This is why I suggest that journaling is a really good idea, because it's like a growth chart. It helps us see where we were and where we're getting to. We have these in our homes. We put them in our pantries and we measure the height of our kids. You were this big how long ago? Right? We can do that with our faith simply by recording things from our past that we would look back and say, wow, I'm not the same that I used to be. So I do this with my values and priorities. It's a huge deal for our leadership team that we're assessing values and priorities of ourselves so that we might know the values and priorities of this congregation. It's not a fast process, but we're continuing to work it out with fear and trembling daily, right? So here are some of my old values as I went back and thought about these things. If I could identify 8 values and priorities in my life, I would say that back in the day, before I met Jesus, like before Paul, who was Saul, met Jesus, my priorities were different. Some of them were like money was important, really, really important to me because I was broke poor. I mean, it was bad. And I just wanted money. I wanted resources. I wanted to do stuff that people with money could do. And that became a god in my life. Popularity was of huge importance. I still fight that battle. Significance. Sports was just a god. Instant gratification. I wanted everything that I wanted right when I wanted it, whether it was good for me or not. If it was going to make me feel good, I wanted it. But then there's some other things that are still true. That I was deeply concerned for others. I remember being concerned for others all of my life. I desired genuine friendship, family, and because I didn't have any of this, I wanted a lot of it. Predictability. I wanted to know what was going to happen, when it was going to happen. Because I didn't have any predictability growing up. And so that can be a god too, a god in itself too, because the God we're following ain't predictable. He's good, but he ain't predictable. So our values change. My current values look more like intimacy with Jesus through time in the Word, time journaling, time in prayer, time sitting still. I still value my family, but now they have names. Katrina, Savannah, and Caleb, an extended family. I value those things deeply, those relationships. Physical health. I still battle with this one, but getting to bed on time, eating right, and exercising. Huge values to me. Adventure-based discipleship, which means essentially taking your job and taking your purpose and taking your all of who you are and making it one. That you would enjoy the days of your life, that you would wake up on purpose with something to do that matters and makes a difference in the world. Friendship and accountability are important to me now. The poor. It's one of my top eight because Jesus resides amongst the poor. And as Chris shared again this morning, we discover our own poverty, spiritual poverty, the more time we spend people who are in physical poverty. And it humbles us and it changes us. The poor. Lifelong learning and fun. Those are my values now. But I know, too, that there's a couple of these eight values that if I really, really hyper-focus on, all the rest of them seem to come into play. That's how it works with values. You find the basics. And I know that if I go to bed on time, if I eat right, exercise, and spend time sitting with Jesus, everything else that I care about seems to fall into place. When all the rest of that stuff isn't working very well, I look back and say, well, am I going to bed on time? Am I eating right? Am I spending time alone with the Lord? And if I'm not, then nothing else comes together. So I know that those are critical, which means I cannot erase them off my calendar. If I spend too much time helping the urban poor to the detriment of my sleep and my exercise, my care for the urban poor becomes very temporary. There's nothing eternal about it anymore because I'm not hearing the voice of God. Does that make sense? The basics. If I get the basics right, everything seems to go much, much better. John Wooden was one of the greatest coaches in the history of sports. In the 1960s and the 1970s, Wooden's UCLA men's basketball team won a record 10 national championships in the course of 12 years. I thought you were sick of the New England Patriots. It was so much worse in Southern California with this basketball team. They just kept winning and winning and winning. And included in that 12-year streak was an 88-game win streak that still stands today in men's basketball. The UConn women have actually won more. They've won 90 straight, but no one wants to talk about that. But the UConn women have the longest streak in the history of sports of winning. Well, we didn't need to say that. It's still the longest. Still the longest. But Wooden, 88 games in a row he took that team to win in championships. I've been reading a biography on his life called A Coach's Life. And what struck out to me more than anything in this book has been Wooden's commitment to the basics. The basics. So beyond the pivoting and the dribbling and the passing and the catching and the shooting, Wooden first taught his players and returned time and time again throughout his career. He said, we're going to do all that, but first, y'all got to take care of your feet. You got to take care of your feet. One of his players said about him that he busied himself with the smallest details, beginning with the proper way to put on shoes and socks, so his players' feet wouldn't blister. One of his players recalls, Wooden showed up and he showed us how to put Vaseline on our feet and then a pair of socks and then some powder and then another pair of socks. And then he planned out our meals for us. He would order roast beef, but it would not be 8 ounces or 6 ounces. It would be 4 ounces. He was a very easy person to talk to, but there was no question that he was in charge. He was in charge and he took his people back to the basics. The basics mattered to Jesus too. See, after the revelation of the Ten Commandments way back in the Old Testament, when Moses received that revelation and came back down the hill with this word of how to keep your heart dedicated and close to God, ten easy steps, ten simple steps, not easy. You ever try to keep them all in one day? That's why Jesus, okay? Because we can't keep the rules. But the rules weren't intended to kill our joy. It was intended to keep our heart. But then as people who like to add to things and perfect things and be prideful about things, from the time of Moses to the time of Jesus, the people of God added 603 more rules. we couldn't keep 10, how are we going to keep 613 laws? So Jesus came, and when they asked him, what's the most important of all these rules? He boiled it down to the basics. Love God and love people. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. We can keep it all in line. Sort of. Sometimes. But it begins. Is it loving? Is it loving? With everything we do this week, what if we asked ourselves this question? Is it loving? Might be legal. We can legally cheat on our spouses. But is it loving? Right? Big things like that, down to little things. Like passing someone on the street. You're not obligated to talk with a person on the street. But it might not be so loving to just pass them by if the Lord has afforded you the time to give away, to be generous, to tithe your time. Tithe your time. Right? That works out to 2.4 hours a day. That's a lot. So what if we even did just a little bit, right? Give of ourselves away to others. See, the basics are of critical importance not only to John Wooden, right? Not only to Jesus, but to all followers of Jesus today. And dedicate will help us get back to that place. Dedicate, my wife helped me with this week. Because sometimes we start thinking about, I just can't do more stuff. I'm not even doing the stuff I'm doing right. It's important for us to remember that dedicate isn't just another failed attempt at resolutions. Right? January 6th, so most of us have far gone and said we'll do it again next year, right? This time of year can be discouraging if we're just focused on all the things that we're not doing right. Dedicate is not about focusing on what we're doing. It's about focusing on Him, what Jesus does. These are not about... Christy, okay? This isn't about behavior modification. That's not what we're focused on either. We're not trying to be better over the course of 21 days. That's not what we're focused on. This is a slow burn. These days are intended to get our hearts a little bit closer to Jesus over time. On Wednesday morning, I was reading out of the one-year Bible reading plan that you're welcome to join us in. And it was talking about, in Luke, Jesus' presentation at the temple when he was 8 days old. And Mary and Joseph had just received a blessing from Simeon and a prophetic word about their son when another visitor approached. We have a picture of this, Zach, if you can put that up for us. There was another visitor, and this passage is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. This is the prophecy of Anna. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up then at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Zach, can you put that picture back up again for just one moment? Mary and Joseph and Simeon and then Anna, who spent all of her days praying and fasting in the temple. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Do you think she knew something about Jesus a little bit more because of her proximity to God through prayer and fasting? What a beautiful image. I don't want to be able to see that. What a beautiful image. The joy in her heart. And Simeon, who had been told that his life wouldn't be fulfilled until he saw the child. And as soon as he saw God, he knew that his purpose was complete. How beautiful to think about such things, that Anna would come, that she would pray and fast in the temple. The observation when I read this and journaled about it was that when we fast and pray, when we do What's the benefit? What's in it for me? Oftentimes we see and hear and sense things that aren't readily available to our eyes and our ears or our heart when we're overcome by distraction and overconsumption. And we can always return to it, but that we know that when we turn down the noise and we spend more time with Him, we see stuff, we hear stuff, we know things because we're more in tune with the voice of God who never stops speaking. This 21-day season of prayer and fasting is about our collective return to these practices. Anna committed her whole life to that. Some people can do that. I have other things that I'm doing that are about the work of the Lord, but some people are called to do that with all of their time. So I must do it with some, and it must be the first fruit of what I give to God. Then everything else will fall into place if I put Him first, if I give God my best time. I must return to these practices. So practically, what are they? I know for me, the things that I need to limit myself concerning is the social media scrolling. That becomes so easy to just waste 43 minutes. But and then you wake up the next day, you don't even remember what you looked at. But you liked it, right? Social media scrolling, Netflix binging. Oh, I'm just going to watch one more. No, I'm just 40. I got 42 more minutes. I can do 42 more minutes. That's how long the next episode is. And we have to limit ourselves because social media ain't limiting us. Netflix isn't limiting me. I don't even have to push. I want to watch another one. Bam. And you can watch the credits for 38 seconds or you can press watch now. So I watch again. Emotional eating is a challenge for me. When I'm not feeling comfortable, I eat so that I can feel comfortable. That's a problem for me. And it's something that I always have to watch. Social nuttiness. Have you ever heard the term FOMO? Anyone heard that before? F-O-M-O. Fear of missing out. Social nuttiness. If I'm not at the next thing that Facebook tells me I need to be at, I'm going to miss out on something. I got to be around people. Because unless I'm around them, letting them know that I love them, they might think that I don't love them anymore and I might lose my friends. I will be that transparent with you. Anyone else feel the same? Our friends will still love us even if we're not texting them every 6 minutes to just secure that we still like each other. If I go off Facebook for 21 days, I bet I won't lose any friends. No one's going to unfriend me on the internet. Worry and anxiety. Boy, I give a lot of time to that. Could be spent differently. These are the things. What are the things that equitably would be appropriate for each of us to surrender to the Lord? When I limit my consumption of these things, my appetite begins to change. That's the other thing. When I limit myself, my appetite changes. Things I've had to force feed myself in the past, like vegetables. You ever have to force feed yourself vegetables? I've been eating more carrots and broccoli this week. No kidding. No joke. I kind of want some carrots right now. I kid you not. When we change our behaviors, our appetite changes. But can we trust Him? That's the question. Where's God in all of this? Can He be trusted to sacrifice things, to limit ourselves, to give up control of our own lives? Can we trust Him with what we choose to consume? I trust that food can sustain me and comfort me. I do. I trust that media will entertain me. I trust that people will love and affirm me. This is what's coming from my own waiting upon the Lord in a dedicate fast. I trust food. I trust media. I trust people. Jesus is saying, can you set that down for a minute to trust me? But what if I like my controls? What if I like to be in control? What if I don't like things that are associated with discipline? Paul again, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far all outweighs everything that we have to give up for a little bit. He will ask me to limit myself so that I might experience his unlimited grace, mercy, and power in my life. When I limit myself to things that I can control, I experience his unlimited power. I can manipulate all those things. I can manipulate media. I can manipulate people. I can manipulate food. I can't manipulate God because I consume the rest and he consumes me. That's how it works. Our God is a consuming fire. He consumes us. And then all these things that we're trying to do in regards to resolutions. Oh, I want to be nicer to people. I want to spend more time reading my Bible. Spend more time praying. Hallelujah. It's all good. But when we strive after it in our own strength, it fails by day 6. When we choose to be consumed by God, it just keeps going and going and going. And I didn't even realize I was doing that. I was reading the Word because I wanted to. I was praying for people because I had seen it changing people. I was giving my time away and my money away because it just changed my whole outlook on life. We're consumed by Him, baptized by His Spirit. But we have to relinquish all of our false desires to experience His fullness. And can He be trusted? This series, we'll be talking about the church and the neighborhood and the city. We've had these verses hanging in the backdrop for months now. Just kind of waiting there. I'm hoping they're saturating in, but it's where this congregation is now founded. I'm going to start for a minute today and just talking about Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The International Church of the Four Square Gospel, of which we are part of, was founded in the 1920s by Amy Semple McPherson. This may be new information to you. She was a missionary and a traveling evangelist that spent time in the United States. She spent time in Asia and then came back. She preached primarily in her earliest days out of the back of a 1920s Oldsmobile. She just preached the gospel. The first Foursquare Church, Angelus Temple, which you see behind me, opened its doors for the first time 96 years ago this month in Echo Park, California, Los Angeles. The church hosted services from the get-go in 5 different languages, drawing more than 20,000 people each week at the height of the Depression. 1923, Angelus Temple opened its doors. They weren't even going to be a church. Now our movement today in 2019 has more than 8 million people associated with the International Church of the Four Square Gospel. There have been churches planted in 146 nations, 68,000 churches for 8 million people. Foursquare, you may wonder, what is Foursquare? Well, for Amy Semple McPherson, it was a building term in the 1920s that meant good to build on. Meant that this is good, this is flush. We can put a foundation on this. And she said, if I'm going to explain the gospel to people, we're going to talk about Jesus being our Savior, our healer, our baptizer, and our soon and coming King. Those are the 4 tenets of the Four Square Gospel, if you're wondering. Jesus is our Savior, He's our healer, He's our baptizer, He's our soon and coming King. Those are the 4 things. And she founded the denomination on this verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, why that verse? There was many people in culture at the time and still exist in culture today, and I still believe that they're saved and loved and accepted by Jesus. But there are denominations that subscribe to a theology called cessationalism, which simply means that the gifts that were available to the early church in terms of healing and prophecy and speaking in tongues and understanding the gifts, that all of that ended when the Bible times ended. And we just have to rely on that. And that's okay. People believe that. It's okay. It's a Reformed theology. We still are one body in Christ. But as the Four Square Gospel, the Four Square Movement, we believe that those gifts are available to us today. The same things that Jesus did yesterday are the same things that Jesus is doing today, are the same things He's going to do until the return of Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does what he's always done. And Hebrews is a masterful text. It serves as the linchpin between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I remember reading it in college and going, like the lights went on. Oh, it all matters. And Hebrews is the book that ties it all together. It extensively uses Old Testament imagery about the temple and about the altar and the high priest. And Hebrews, more than anything, argues that Jesus is the exalted Son of God, the ultimate high priest, the one who doesn't just perform the sacrifices. He is the sacrifice. Hebrews has all these beautiful themes, and then it just kind of switches on a dime and gives us all these ideas about how to live well together as the church. And then it concludes and says, and oh, by the way, it's even hard to contextualize because it just shows up one verse, different than 7 verses, different than 9. And it's just Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just there. Just right there. But Hebrews 13:8 echoes the themes from Hebrews 1:10-12. Because the author of Hebrews, because I love this, he so beautifully ties the New Testament and the Old Testament together. He quotes something in Hebrews 1:10-12 that's found in Psalm 102:25-27 concerning the longevity and the sameness of God. In the beginning, this is Psalm 102:25-27, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing, you will change them. Though outwardly we are wasting away. But you remain the same, and your years will never, ever, ever end. I added some evers. It's because you emailed me this week and said, there's too many. I wasn't. Back to the basics. There's very few things that are more basic about Jesus besides the fact that he never changes. Stick to the basics. He is, in essence, the very same God who, in effort, does very different and very surprising things. So don't think that just because Jesus is the same doesn't mean he's going to pull some punches and pull the rug out from under your feet sometimes. I talk about divine ambushes. My last 2 years of my life, the Lord's like, it's different. But it's good. He is reliable, although I have to trust him for my provision. I have to trust him for my understanding. I have to trust him for my purpose. And to get there, I have to listen. I have to pray and fast. That's why we do these things. He is reliably good. He is four square. He is okay to build a life upon. Though the circumstances of our life will come and go, and someone wandered in here this morning with the faith of a mustard seed to say, me and God are not all right. Walked in here this morning, sitting in this room right now, me and God are not all right. We had it out last night because I thought all my circumstances were coming together the way I thought they were. But they're not. And I almost didn't come this morning, but I came. And we had a chance to pray. Faith like a mustard seed. I will trust God beyond my circumstances. Because even in the midst of pain, God is doing good things. In our prayer and fast, we will return to our values and our priorities. I want to encourage us, as we do that this week, to return to our values and to return to our priorities. Make that a part of your fast. Ask those questions. What's different in me than when I started following Jesus? What's changed in me? I bet it has. Celebrate those things and let him do it. Trust the unchanging God to do new and beautiful things in your life. In the Sports Illustrated article, as we close, from June 14, 2010, it was entitled Remembering the Wizard by Alexander Wolfe. It was said of John Wooden, his greatest strength was a knack to knowing when and what to change. In a time when we're thinking about making changes in our life. And when to leave things be. I love this. John Wooden let sands shift, but only over solid bedrock. It was also said of him, he was the essence of a great human being, someone who continuously learned to test his ideas, and through continuous learning discovered that some things change and some things remain unchangeable. That was said of John Wooden. John Wooden was also a devout follower of Jesus. And the fruit of his life, now being known as one of the greatest coaches in all of history of sports, he came to understand the importance of proximity to Jesus and commitment to the basics. Let it be said of us, as was said in our 9 a.m. time of prayer with half a dozen or a dozen of us this morning, to fast is to do nothing more than to live the life that Jesus lived. It's the fast that we live. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning, and we commit to you a sacrifice that we are going to limit ourselves somehow, not for the sake of limiting ourselves, but for the sake of knowing that you are unlimited, that you want to do new things, that you want to show us things, you want us to hear things, you want us to feel things that we can't feel when we're over-consuming things that we can control. It's going to cost us. To fast and pray will cost us control, but it will allow us to get a glimpse of the unchanging, eternal God. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's you. We can trust you because you will not change. Lord Jesus, we commit to you 2019. It's going to be different than we thought it would be. There's going to be greater highs and greater lows, but you will remain constant, unchanging, good for following after. We commit ourselves to you in this time of prayer and fasting in the 3 weeks that we remain. Show us stuff. Lord, we want to be people used by you to do great things for your glory. Pastor Chris Nixon, Ryan Sims, are going to be available in the back to pray. Maybe Tyrone, if you feel like you want to maybe be available to pray, would you just stand up if you want to be available to pray? Those people specifically. But if you want, right now we have Ryan and we have Chris. Yep, Art, be available to pray. This is why we come here, right? We come here so that we can be with one another. If something is stirring in your heart, if you just need to talk to somebody about a commitment you're thinking about making to Jesus, they'll be available after service. Otherwise, you're welcome to stay as long as you'd like. We look forward to seeing you again very soon. Be blessed, and Chris is going to send us out.
1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. You know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.